All right, it's 7 o'clock. Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David. I'm an alcoholic.
David.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. The AA preamble states, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're talking about step 12, and two of my favorite AAs. Please welcome Lisa and Scott. Right.
So he says that about everybody.
That's kind of true. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So our first paragraph tonight is going to be on page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. So Lisa won the toss and elected for Scott to start.
My name is Scott and I'm an alcoholic.
Scott.
I didn't see no toss. I believe there's a lot of dishonesty at this table tonight. But we're going to go with it.
Because you're here.
Because I'm here. A couple formalities, I guess. I got a home group. My home group is Big Book of Chesapeake. We meet on Monday and Lisa's. Well, she can tell her. I'm pretty sure we're both in the same home group. 5:30 on Sunday afternoons, we read the book. And it's a pretty good meeting. It's a great meeting. If you guys are ever in Chesapeake, come see us. My sobriety date is July 10th, 06, and still amazes me to say that, you know, because it took me forever to get a sobriety date. took me forever to want to stay sober. And this is the big part of the staying sober process. I can remember when reading that, I hadn't put a lot of thought into it. I've been busy, like, you know, most everybody, we get busy lives, man. We get sober at first, there's not enough, there's too much time in the day, and the next thing you know, there's not enough time in the day. And I rushed to get over here and I made it. But as we were reading that, I was thinking of my first sponsor, Tony. He looked at me, he says, "You're gonna help a lot of people, Scott." I said, "Why?" You know, what about me? You know, I just got out of jail the other day, man, you know, and it's been a while since I got out of jail, you know, for myself. I mean, of course, I do a lot of prison work now, and I get to go home, which is great, but before, they used to take my clothes and put me in these coveralls, and sometimes they were paper, sometimes they were nylon, and I had to stay a little while, but, you know, times have changed. But this is the deal, man. You know, after taking these steps with my sponsor and getting involved in a home group that I really didn't want to be involved with and doing a little bit of service work that I really didn't want to do, something happened where I really wanted to try to help someone, you know? And at first, I can tell you, it was all ego because I wanted to let you know that I was helping them. That's first and foremost. I was scared to tell my sponsor that, you know? He says, "We all start like that, man. We all start like that." Something about getting a good sponsor, they kind of ease you into this stuff, you know? And that's what they had to do with me, because I come in with a big ego, you know? Nobody's been arrested more than me, and drunk in public more than me, and, you know, I thought I was a grandiose, you know, thief. I was nothing. I was a petty thief at the most. But I started working with other alcoholics, and something clicked. Something clicked. Man, my sponsor said that's when it comes full circle, and it's cool, man. You know, it's cool. That right there says the whole essence to me of step 12 right there in the first two paragraphs. We could just stop right there and just continue on. If you ever get to experience this, such as me, because I'm a lucky one, I do get to experience this. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. It wants me to want more. You know, instead of doing my little bit and getting the hell out like I used to, you know, make my showing and go, now I want to do more. You know, I don't want to go there, but once I get there, I want to stay. You know, if that makes any sense. It's just watching the light come on to somebody else, you know. I realize I'm not the only one out here anymore, you know. Even though my head wants to tell me that, you know, you get to impress all these people. It ain't about that. You know, it ain't about that. This program was, I believe, Bill and Bob, you know, they wrote this thing, and if they hadn't collaborated on it together, it probably went in different directions, but they were the perfect couple to get this thing going. And Bill seen it when he finally got Bob. You know, he struggled with so many, trying to help people, and it took him forever to finally meet Bob, and he stayed sober, you know. And that's what happens. You know, that's what happens. But, you know, he realize it was a process to get to that. And I know some people say, you know, there's no such thing as a process, but it is. It was for me. You know, whatever it is for you, I'm glad. Whatever works, you know, if I can find to be happy by talking with another alcoholic, how to change my entire attitude and my entire mood, and I don't have to say a word sometimes, just listening to somebody else who's got all this shit going on. Got all this crap going on in my life, in their life. Mine doesn't seem to be so bad, man. And then when I get there, I tell you the real kicker is when you watch a sponsee with a sponsee. You know, I'm like, wow. And I'm like being sponsored again because I forgot most of that shit. I'm like, wow, man, that makes sense. Well, you told me, really? Wow, I'm good. You know, it's just a never-ending cycle. It just keeps repeating itself. That's why I come back to AA, you know. I got a little, you know, going on 14 years, man. That's just amazing to me every time I say it. But I keep coming back because I keep learning. You know, I keep learning things. Or I keep re-remembering, revisiting these ideas that were implanted in me, I implant somebody else, and then they get re-implanted in me because they seem to keep working over and over, you know. It's the spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't want to go nowhere else, you know. I don't want to drink. You know, I drank every single day of my life for 15, 20 years. Shot dope, did crack, everything. You know, every single day. And when I walked out of the jail in Virginia Beach, Virginia, the last time, hopefully in 06, man, I started doing something different. And I got to this point. This is somewhere I thought I'd never get. I got to this point, and it's just a blessing to be here. You know, I'm gonna let Lisa talk. I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. My name's Lisa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lisa.
And I do have a home group. It is Big Book of Chesapeake, and I've watched it grow. Gosh, I've seen it go from about 12 people to, I think there was like 45 there yesterday. So it's been wonderful. Also, had the experience yesterday of, I go to the rehab sometimes. We have a new facility in this area in Portsmouth that's a 30-day facility. And there was a gentleman that remembered us coming, and he was at our home group yesterday. You know, and when you see that, that says it all. Because my ego, I was a little bit different. I was like Narcissus frowning at himself in the reflection. You know, I got here and I was so beaten, I didn't think that I would ever be able to help anybody. Okay, 27 years of drinking, I ended up with an oxygen mask on my face and walked out of the hospital, and I did that 90-90 thing. And I joined the most uncomfortable home group I could find, the one that was the brightest lights. And they were kind of a glum lot, actually, sitting around with these big books, very serious, with a study guide to boot. But anyway, I belong there. So, and that group was there as a solution. But things changed, and a lot of those people moved on, and now I have a different home group. But I'm eternally grateful for the beginnings I've had in order for me to be where I am today. It is emotional. I'm nervous, but what a great step to talk about, you know, step 12. Like I said, I thought my original sponsor took me through this book page by page. So when she was doing step 12 with me, I went through this and I thought, how am I even going to put a sentence together to be able to do what she's doing for me? And you know, it happened. At about 3 years sober, I got the opportunity. And my sponsor let me know, remember they are very ill, she let me know, that stood out. She said, Lisa, you are much worse than her. And I think I held that resentment for 8 years, just till lately. You know, no, I wasn't, I really wasn't, no. But anyway, and then, you know, my higher power has a total sense of humor. It's been that way since day one. You know, I got to live with myself, you know, doing this 12-step work. Same defects. She would look at me and say, I'm sorry, 100 times. And I'm like, oh my God, how did this happen? I'm living with myself. I did have the opportunity for a short period of time. I know it's not suggested, it just happened that way, that I did, my sponsee live with me for a couple months. And then, and you know, we got to work through the book together. And then she moved on. I think what really stood out to me was the part where it says it works when other activities fail. I'm a selfish, self-centered person that uses sports to feel better. I'll use a lot of things to feel better now that I don't drink. I put the plug in the jug, but I've still got this thinking apparatus that tends to think I'll be okay by myself. And all the sports I've chosen are solo sports, you know, that you do by yourself. How, you know, that's convenient. Anyway, you know, when I was tired of bludgeoning myself with all of that, even though I was connected to a home group sponsor, all of that, I can still isolate. And I got to a part where I got kind of sick in sobriety, both mentally and physically. And what happened was, right at that point, my higher power put someone in my life that I was forced to work with. And I got better, you know? I got better. And that's what's happened. And that stands out, even though that was a long time ago, that was about 10 years ago. But I still go back to that, because that was huge. Because I was miserable in sobriety. And when I got to work with that person, it's like a light came on again. I can't really describe it other than that. You won't want to miss it. You really would not want to miss it. They say it twice, and for good reason. And that's been my experience. I got to work with her, and everything, it's like I came back to life. I went from not doing well at all, let's just, you know, to even trying to tell my sponsor, well, I'm not going to my home group. We met twice a week. And I said, well, I'm not going to Monday, I'll be at Thursday. And then there was a long silence, and she didn't say anything, and I knew what that meant. And, you know, what's happened for me, I've heard someone say that it's happened in inches and seconds, meaning it was a crapshoot that I didn't show up, but I did show up that night. And because I put a ball cap on and I showed up, that's when I met the person. That night that I wasn't going to show up, you see. It happened again, too. I wasn't going to show up because I was suffering from something that I couldn't control. And with my alcoholism, too, same defects. If you ever get sick and you have alcoholism, it's the same defects. I'm not going to show up. And darn if I didn't meet someone that very night that I said, no, I'm not going to show up. And again, that happened. It's always happened like that. And I guess, well, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. We're going to continue on page 91. See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak for himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your own drinking career up until the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment about how that was accomplished. If he's in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you. Be careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him some humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. Scott?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, my first sponsor, I've only had two sponsors. I only got my second one because my first one told me I had to. He was moving. And I kind of did what my first sponsor told me to do. That's probably what the main reason I'm here, because I had nowhere else to go, nowhere else to listen. Every thought, you know, I had was wrong. And this man seemed to know something more than I did. So I followed his every direction. When he moved to Florida, he got me another. He says, this is the man. First of all, he says, well, me and my sponsor talk on the phone. He says, we can do that for a while. Then the first conversation we had when he got to Florida was, you need a sponsor to put his eyes on you. And I'm like, well, you don't have that. Well, he says, I do now. But I got another sponsor. And both of these men talked about themselves all the time. I couldn't get a word in about me. You know, I couldn't. I was just like, and it used to piss me off. I'm like, come on, man, I thought we were working on me today, not you. And I'm sitting here thinking as I'm reading that I'm doing that now. You know, my sponsees, a few of them are here, I talk about me a lot. You know, matter of fact, that's all I talk about. And I guess that's the full circle part, you know. I got some experience with staying sober now. But I gotta let you know that I know how to drink. I know how to get high, man. And when you're new and you're coming in Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't believe it, but that's all I knew was how to get high. And that's what my sponsor kept telling me. Just shut up and listen for a minute. You know, you might stick around a little bit. You might be able to help people. You know, after he says you're gonna help a lot of people, you just might be the one to help a lot of people, you know? Things start turning. And I can remember watching them going to these meetings and my first home group was Many a Strange Camel right here in downtown, men's big book study. My sponsor got that thing going. And so when I got out of jail, I had an instant home group. And I used to watch him at that, like we'd go to candlelight meeting on Colley Avenue on Friday nights, and I'd see him talking. It was big, big meeting, a lot of old timers there. I mean, it's completely different now, but there's a lot of these guys that had a lot of years in there. I mean, they would sit in the corner, and I'd sit back there with them like I knew something, I mean, nothing. And I would just be with them. Then when we walked outside and you're standing on the street, everybody's smoking or whatever and talking, I'd be there by myself watching them, you know, like the outcast. But see, I had no idea it was me doing that, you know. I had to finally tell this man what was going on. And he said, well, why don't you put your hand out and shake somebody's hand, you know. And that's what I did. And things started changing. And when I'm talking with a new guy, and he's saying the same thing to me, see, that's the thing. That's what we get. I got experience now where I can use it or help you along the way, you know, because you got to shake the guy's hand. If you don't know him, go tell him who you are. You know, it's not that bad. I could walk up to anywhere in a store. Sometimes my wife, we're married, by the way. But sometimes in a store, I can walk up and talk to anybody, kind of pisses her off. But it doesn't seem to bother me sometimes, you know, and I don't think about it. But I used to, where I come from, and that's what I tell guys, it's me that's blocking the connection. If I want sobriety, I got to get out of that isolation. I got to get out of that loneliness. I had to do that. And I had to get guidance from a sponsor. And I try to tell guys the same thing. Because I'm a service guy. I try to get the guys in the jails. I get them in the intergroup. I get them in the GSR. Because that's what's happened to me. You know? And the biggest part of trying to do that with somebody is my experience in it. And, you know, and it used to just be so funny when I would hear, just watch my sponsor go, well, he could just talk to anybody, man. You know, I guess I can do that now because that's what the guys tell me. So it's like I say, it's just passed on. It's nothing I do any different than anybody else does, you know. But it all seems to work. And guys are sick, man. Sometimes they're really sick, and I can't help them. I got nothing for them, you know. I understand. You know, I got a friend right now. He's back out drinking, and he's calling me up wanting to argue with me. I said, hey, I ain't the one drinking. You know, and I got a point blank say, you know, well, you want to know the truth? It doesn't matter to me if you get sober or not. I'd like for you to, but I'll move on. You know, I'm the one in good shape right now, and you want to argue with me about you. It just doesn't make no sense. But I can remember I did the same thing. So it's all a cycle. Everybody seems to go through the exact same thing. No difference. No matter what your story is, we all got the same story of coming in Alcoholics Anonymous. Sick or not sick. You know, if you want to believe it or if you don't want to believe it, it's still going to work if you just sit down and take a break, man, and get comfortable. Because you're going to be here a while, I hope. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Scott. Okay, so this is... let's see here. So when I've met someone, usually it's been at a meeting. There have been a few times where freak things have happened, where I went to the psych center, my partner didn't show up, and you know, and then I had to have the guys and the gals, you know, and then I shared my story, and I used to say my home group, where my home group was, you know, and I had someone show up there 4 months later, you know, and found the home group. And so I know this is talking about seeing your man alone, if possible, and getting general conversation. How does that happen? It's happened for me at either going to a facility or usually my home group. That's or when I'm inconvenienced. I've had to take a lady that I didn't want to in a wheelchair to a meeting, and I didn't want to go to a women's meeting. And there you go. I meet my next sponsee right there. It's really been that way to me. I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but every time I've been inconvenienced and I didn't want to do something, that's boom, that's when it happens for me. I'm not this great at all this. I'm great at the, you know, this is where a lot of laughter comes in. I've gotten, I have a friend here. We do a lot of laughing, okay? Because You know, it is tragic, but it is funny. It is. And we got to be able to laugh about the past. It is our greatest asset, so why not? But then there's also a seriousness because it is life or death, you know? And that's what I have a hard time as being a guide today is, you know, every decision you make is either leading you to a drink or to the light. And that's what I really believe. It either is or it isn't. And that's really hard for me because I'm not the arbiter of anyone's anything. But there is seriousness to this. And I have done this all wrong. I've tried to help someone alone that had a perfect O with their mouth because they were getting ready to throw up the sandwich that I got them because they were drunk. And I had no idea they were drunk. You know, so I'm, you know, I mean, sometimes I think I'm worse. I'm like, how could I do that and not have a clue that the person was drunk, you know? And then I find out 2 days later. I didn't even get it then. But so I don't do this perfectly. I've been that person, you know, where one time the original meeting I went to a long time ago when I first tried to get sober, and it didn't take. When I got sober this time, January 28th, 07, I forgot to tell you my sober date, I thought that I was going to make it my little thing to go back and save this meeting, you know, and do something. Because those ladies had a religious message, but they didn't have the 12 steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I thought, well, I'm going to go change that. And anyway, so I was trying to do this, and I remember thinking, why am I doing this? Three people come in here. One just eats all the cookies and complains about me sharing again. And then stands there while I have the trash in my hand and says, well, good night. No. So I was getting resentful. And then something beautiful happens. You know, you're going through We Agnostics and you're connecting with someone and you're looking in their eyes and they're looking in your eyes and there's some kind of weird beam. You know, and then I'm leaving. I'm going there saying, God, why am I doing this? No, but the same people are going to be there too. Two of the same people, the only two people, and me. And I'm not making any difference for anything. And then after that happens, and the kid picks up a white chip, you know, and then I'm driving home and I'm floating. You know, I'm driving 9 miles home, you know, and I'm like, wow. Anyway, you know, when I was driving a lot in early sobriety because I lived 25 miles from my home group. I lived in an isolated place, and there was an arch that was lit up. It just came to me, so I'm just sharing this. And I would leave that meeting, and I would see that arch that was lit up. It was lit up 365 days, you know, and it's like every time I passed it, I was like, I am going through this arch to freedom, you know, from caring, from doing this 12-step work, I'm free. And I know that's kind of silly, and maybe somebody else driving down that road would see that lit arch, and it's just a lit arch, you know? But I don't know why that, I don't notice it anymore when I go by there. But anyway, this is the best part because I get to talk about the funny stuff, you know, being handcuffed and telling someone I'm Sarah Connor, giving the cops a 10-digit social security number and thinking it's funny, and then it's fraud, and then I'm in big trouble, you know. Not even blinking an eye when someone tells me their alcoholic thinking, where it got them, the tragic things that it got them through, and I don't even bat an eyelash. And I can say, yep, I get it. And I can finish their sentence. I mean, God is amazing for allowing that my worst things that have happened, that I'm allowed today to be able to do that, to relate to someone else. You know, and anyway, I mean, there's no lectures, there's nothing. There's just my experience. That's all I have, you know. I guess that's it. Thank you.
All right. We're going to continue on page 91. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, the traits of the alcoholic. If his doctor is willing to tell him he's alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your convictions are. Scott?
Everyday language.
Yeah.
I got that down pat. You know, I don't try to act like I'm somebody different. Something's happened to me. I'm a different person, but I'm not above, I'm not below. I'm just Joe Average, man, you know. I share with you what I was like and what happened and what it's like today. And in a general way, that's what the book says. And I'm not going to try to impress you, you know. AA didn't, you know, all this stuff didn't happen because God popped in my life and boom, you're just a great motherfucking guy. You know, here, boom, you deserve it. That didn't happen. You know, what I did is I struggled. First couple years, I didn't believe in nothing. Nothing. That's what I tell guys. I didn't believe in nothing. I could care less about AA. I didn't want to go to jail. I had nowhere else to go. Salvation Army was looking pretty good. When I got out of jail, my mom let me back in there. These are my experiences, you know, and I get to talk to people about this. And I use everyday language, you know. It's just, it's nothing special. You know, if you want to get sober, you hang out with people who don't drink. You know what? There's a whole bunch of them in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a whole bunch of us who just don't drink. If you want to talk about God, let's have a seat and let's talk about God. I can do that today, you know. If you want to talk about, you know, the way you used to drink, that's fine too, man. But we're going to get through that eventually. Eventually, we get to the other side where there is a solution. I do offer a solution. I offer a solution. I haven't had a drink in a while. You know, I haven't shot heroin. I haven't, you know, I haven't done none of this stuff. Nothing. It just went away. But I'm still, I can still be an asshole. I can still cuss people out that work for me. I got people who work for me today. That never happened when I was drinking. You know, this is the changes that's happened in my life. I didn't see it. It just came. You know, I was practicing Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor told me in the beginning, he said, this is one thing I tell everybody that I talk to. If you're new, you know, just work on Alcoholics Anonymous, work on your sobriety one day at a time and your whole life will fall together. That's what happened to me, you know. I'm still working on my sobriety today. My life keeps falling together, you know. That's spiritual. That's my spirituality essence, right? That's all I know about spirituality. You know, I joined the church. I go to church. I started an AA meeting there. You know, sometimes I hear some AA in church. I know I got that backwards. But that's me. You know, I hear Alcoholics Anonymous coming out of the preacher's mouth. I don't hear it the other way. Some days I hear a good message from them. Some, like Sunday we went to church, had a great message. Band sounded beautiful. Probably sounds that way every week. But for some reason, we heard them. Now in AA, every day I hear something. Every day, that's just how it works for me, you know? And that's what I can share with somebody. I don't know how anybody gets sober. I really don't. You know, I don't. And if you do, then you can tell me, because I don't. I practice a fellowship. I tried the book, in the beginning of the book, it says we are a fellowship. of men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. That's where I was when I got here. If you're coming in like that, just have a seat with me. Just hang out with me, man. That's all you got. There's nothing special going to happen, but we're not going to drink today. I guarantee you that. If you want to drink, you're going to go hang out with somebody else. But if you want to hang out with me, we're not going to drink. I'm going to show you, you can put a smile on your face. It's not that hard. It was hard in the beginning to hear somebody say that. But for me to tell somebody that is not that bad. Just hang out with us, man. Our home group, we go out to eat after dinner. This group does the same thing. I remember when this meeting started. They probably still go to the same Mexican place down the road. We go out to eat. We kind of bounce around. You know, I got football season on Sundays. We got to watch football. I do, anyway. Got to watch football. But when that's over with, I'll go anywhere you want. You know, but that's the part. And we get newcomers in, and they hang out with us. You know, and they see us like we eat at, you know, we go to bars. There's sports clubs over by our house now. We go in there, there's drinking, you know, there's football, there's sport. You can go in there, and you know what? Most of the people that I thought were drinking back when I was drinking aren't. It's amazing. People watch football and don't drink. And don't go to AA. How do you do that? I don't know how. You know, but I got a new guy. He don't either. Just sit by me. You know, we'll try to figure this out together. You know, at least we'll walk out of here sober. And that's a cool thing, man. Alcoholics Anonymous works when nothing else does. And I know that to be true. The people in AA, the fellowship, the camaraderie, this is where it is, man. This is how you do it. You know, you can do any screwed up thing you want in life. You just don't got to drink. I didn't believe that until I got here. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you. This makes me think about the personal experience I had, like what happened. All those guardian angels along the way, the 27 years of binge drinking, where I'd be like in the sauna, and the guy said, you know, Lisa, when you're an alcoholic, and I'm like, no. And he goes, well, when you got a drink in your hand and you're always wondering where the next one's coming from. You know, and I'm like, wow, I can relate to that. Or coming back with everything I owned as I'm hitting my bottom, you know, like someone throwing a grounder. You know, hitting it, the last 3 weeks of drinking in January of 07. I remember the man that we hiked, my father was with me and it was his best friend, and we hiked a little bit of Red Rock Canyon. And Andy said, Bill, why didn't you tell me about Alcoholics Anonymous? And my dad had got sober in AA, but on the 24-hour day book, so he didn't really understand the concepts of the steps. But I heard what Andy said. And at lunch that day, he pounded his fist at the table and he pointed at me and he said, you need to take a spiritual pill, 90-90. And so I tell that story over and over again because that's what happened to me. So when the oxygen mask came off my face at Virginia Beach General, January 28, 2007, that's what I thought about Andy telling me to take a spiritual pill. 90-90. And so that's what I tell everybody. That story doesn't change. As far as everything else, how do you do that? I mean, I was done, game over. So I don't know how to give that to anybody. I can just tell you what happened to me, and I can tell you that I didn't play with it. I did everything as far as the good orderly direction with Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I mean by that is by meeting my sponsor on time, going through the big book, showing up for my home group early, staying late, doing all of those things. Now, as far as my behavior in between the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, that's a total different ballgame. It took me forever to get that fifth column and start practicing virtues. You know, because I got to be in a lot of pain to practice a virtue. And so how can I tell someone else that? How can I tell you what not to do if I did the same thing? I just had that conversation today with someone. I said, you know, it's easy to say, oh, don't do that. Don't pick up the phone. You really want to drink if you do that. Well, I did it. I picked up the phone. You know, it took me all the pain it did. you know, I've heard people share this, that you're going to have another experience or whatever. Well, yeah, and I'm the one that has to suffer the consequences of that experience. Whether I'm doing this thing, I get the results, and if I don't do the thing, I get the results. That's Danny Shirley used to say that. I stole that from him. Anyway, and as far as the being willing to believe and all of that, I don't even go into that. I just say, listen, after falling out in a Pentecostal church, growing up in an Episcopal church, the complete opposite, by the time I got here, when my temporary sponsor said something about God, I said, well, it's like in Seashore State Park, and that's what it was called then. So I would go to Seashore State Park and look at the wind and the trees and the Spanish moss and all of that. But guess what? I showed up 30 minutes early, and even though I couldn't make the darn coffee, I helped the girl that volunteered to make the coffee, okay? So that's my conception of a power greater than myself, was just doing that. And that's, again, what my first sponsor said to me. And I might be way off here, but she said something. This is really important. She said, you know, there are two powers, Lisa, and one is the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's one alcoholic with another alcoholic. The second power is a program of action that leads to spirituality. So that's the 12 steps. And that's what I tell everyone. I just say basically it's in the coffee grinds, because I had to show up and do all those things that I was inconvenienced to do in order to even become willing to be willing. Like I remember someone telling me that I had to pray for the willingness to be willing. And I'm like, well, what the heck, you know, is that? It frustrated me. It still does. But, how can I just have my experience again. That's it. I can't make up anything new. I just have to say, well, you know what? I don't care that you don't feel like going. Put a ball cap on and go. Because guess what? I put a ball cap on and I went. So I'm telling someone to do the exact thing that I did, even though I didn't want to do it. And that's about it. Thank you.
Right on. We're going to continue on page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you only hope he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. Scott?
I keep going back to this friend of mine who's back out there. And prior to me telling him I didn't want him, it doesn't bother me to get sober or not, was probably another 20 minutes of just talking and listening. And I wasn't cruel to him in any way. But I had, you know, come to a point I got tired of debating. And I found myself, wanting to argue with him. I'm like, wait a minute. So then I had to calm down and I told him, you know, it doesn't matter. You know where I'm at and where you can get sobriety. This is somebody who had a few years sobriety and decided it was a good idea after his life got good to take a drink. Now, you know the story. My first sponsor used to tell me all the time, he said, that's the hardest thing he had a problem with. Somebody who had this thing and you watch them grow spiritually and then they take a drink knowing what's going to happen. Not like a newcomer struggling to get in. He was in, you know, and I find myself, you know better, and you're asking me. And he said, I got a problem with God. I said, don't worry about him. God will contact you when he's ready. You know, it's not a big issue. But it's hard sometimes to talk to new guys. I tell them, you know, what I had to do, you know, when they ask, what did you do? You know, a minute I was powerless over alcohol. My life was unmanageable. You know, I came to believe that there's a power greater than myself. I make a decision sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes a weekly, sometimes on an hourly basis. You know, if I got to look, if I had to take an inventory, and the only reason I took an inventory is to find out that I'm screwed up a little bit. You know, it's not about what I've done, what I did, what's going to happen, what they did, what they done. It's about Scott. And I had to look at me, my part in every situation, and then I could only then did I understand that, you know, I got some stuff I can't fix. You know, well, being I made a decision and I found the stuff I can't fix, I guess I gotta become willing to ask a higher power or something to help me out. I need help. That's where I realized I need help. I can't do this without you. You know, and then I gotta make these amends. I gotta get some more willingness. Then I gotta learn how to make amends for what I've done and be clear with that and let it go. I let it go, but by not continuing to do this, and if I do, make amends again, and then I start asking God for help on a daily basis. And I start praying and I start meditating the best I can. You know, and then I talk to you. Every time I talk to another alcoholic, it helps me. I don't know if you're going to get sober or not. I have no idea. The only reason I'm talking to anybody is because it helps me. And that sounds selfish as hell, but that's the truth. That's the truth. The only reason I spend time going in and out of these prisons is because I'm staying sober. You know? It's just an extra, man, when somebody gets it. It really is, you know. And I learned that because I help my sponsors. Both of my sponsors, I help them on a daily basis, you know, because I'm batshit crazy today. You know, but I can tell them that. And they're like, God, I'm glad I ain't you. I said, well, that ain't too nice. That's not very spiritual. You're glad you're not me. They said, well, think about what you say, man, you know. And then I get to hear them guys say this stuff to me, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad I'm not you. It's hard being you. You know? That's the funniest to it. We have good times, you know? We have a good time when we do alcoholics and us. We have a good time when we work steps, you know? I have fun. I'm not a glum lot. I don't believe in that. I like everybody to laugh. I do my best to try to cheer you up if I can. If I can't, sorry. But life moves on, man. Life moves on, just like the program. You know what I realized the past few months or weeks? I lived a lot longer than I first originally planned. And I might still be here a little while longer. So I better start thinking of my future. So, glad. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, my sponsor asked me right away, you know, am I willing to go to any length? And all I ask is that when you have the opportunity to take a person, a lady through the steps, that I would ask that you would do that. And I said yes and yes. Now, when I asked someone if they would be willing to go to any length, they said, well, what does that mean? So, anyway, no, that happened once. Usually, people do say yes. And you know what? Everyone helps me more. I can't believe the irony behind this, that I get to... Like, I can't believe how terminally unique I am not. Like, I can't believe it. I can't believe how different I thought I was. Too different. Until I get to work with someone else, and I thought, oh my God, We all are in our own separate entity, like the doctor's opinion says, all connected, you know, because there is no way that we have the same brain. This is just crazy to me. The same obsessions, that obsessive thinking, that to a fault, you know? And that the only time I get out of it is when the phone rings and I stop arguing with him. Or I was telling Amy earlier, it's like we can be in a knockdown, drag out. I'm sorry, we still argue. You know, I didn't get sober and everything is great. I still have alcoholism, not wasm. I don't use that as an excuse, but some moments are better than other moments. I'm not gonna say day, moments, okay? And I do try to start my day off right. Well, anyway, really, that's all I got, is letting someone know. I'm not on a hierarchy. I don't believe in this, I'm up here just because I might have sponsees. We're all together. We're all on this boat together. Okay, that doesn't take away the seriousness of it. And sometimes I get upset when a newcomer tells me what I should do. That ego is right there, you know, and I'm like, and then but you never know where you're going to get a message, so sometimes they're right. But anyway, like I have these glasses tonight, they're progressive lenses. I don't have to take them on and off. For a decade in sobriety, I took my glasses on and off because I'm so blind. Well, I learned that from a sponsee just this last year. I've got new glasses, you know? Okay, that's a literal thing, and maybe I shouldn't admit that, but you know what? I am teachable. And you know what? If it's to make everybody in this room feel better about themselves, I've learned that's okay. That is okay. It's comical. I mean, my higher power is funny. I mean, because it's funny. It's really funny. It's like, yeah, it's funny. So anyway, anybody that I've tried to help, some people I've tried to help, it says try. I do. I try. And sometimes I haven't been able to help people. I had someone just recently leave me and they got another sponsor, you know? And then the ego thing, you know, I hate this texting thing. I'm just like, call me, you know, stop this texting. But it's my age, maybe, it's me, I don't know, it's ego. And really, you know what, I learned something tonight because I saw this in a different light when David read it, and it's like, maybe I have a friend. And so I have a friend in that person. And I need to treat her like a friend. Not like, well, you ditched me, you know, I got an issue with that. Because you know what, my notes, look, my book is falling apart. These notes to me are the Holy Grail that my original sponsor gave me. And you should know that too. And you should be, what, privileged as I was privileged. But I really believe that. You know, I was privileged to work this with my sponsor who gave me these notes, you know, and her knowledge, you know, and that she did this. It was a privilege to get to step three with her. And so I do get, I'm going off here, but I get upset, you know, a little because, you know, people don't get as excited as I was excited, you know, but, I that's all I know. I try and I fail, but it's okay because I keep trying. And, you know, if there's somebody I can't help, there's somebody else that says that, well, in Vision for You, it says people are dying close and far, right? Near and far. And that was in 1939. And so there are a lot more people and a lot more of us are dying near and far. And so there are plenty of opportunities, whether it be going to a rehab or the jails like he does, or, you know, people remember him when they get out of jail. That blows my mind. People remember us if we... Like, yesterday my partner was sick. There's a big thing going around, you know, and I'm just getting over it. And it was so great. I didn't have to go far to ask, would you go with me? And he went with me yesterday, you know. Then we get to go to the home group and see a guy that remembered us from the last time he agreed to go in because my partner canceled. I think they drank. I don't remember. Something happened. So anyway, as long as I show up, you know, everything's okay. That's like the battle, right? I think Woody Allen said that. I don't know if he's one of us, but he said that's the most part about showing up, 85% of life or something. So that's what I do. I show up and I try to help people, just like I said I was. That's all I got.
All right, that was great. We have about run out of time for sharing. We'll let Bill Wilson have the last word on page 96. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often said that if he had continued to work with them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. We're going to pass the Seven Traditions basket. Seven Traditions states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seven Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the other to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Your safety is important. Calling the proper authorities does not go against any AA traditions and is recommended when someone may have broken the law or endangered the safety of another person. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? Ebony!
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic.
Ebony!
District 14 is hosting a chili cook-off and workshop Tuesday, March 31st with a panel as well. 6:30, bring your winning chili recipe. 7:30, our panel begins, Modern Life on Life's Terms, Relationships and Recovery, Anonymity and Technology, Financial Insecurity. It's hosted at Trinity Presbyterian, 1600 Colonial. There are flyers around. Thanks.
Thanks, Ebony. Thanks, Ebony. They're yellow flyers.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Abe.
I was going to say I'm an alcoholic and my name is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
And this group is hosting summary speaker on March 16th. David has the Robin's Egg Blue flyer because spring is coming. Trent S., formerly of Virginia Beach, now the Outer Banks, is coming. He'll be speaking at 7 p.m. Dinner is at 6 p.m. Bring a dish if you wish. Everyone is invited. Bring newcomers. Bring people who are just showing up for the first time. It's a great evening. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
My name is Tyler. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tyler.
On April 30th this year, downtown Minnesota is going to be hosting a workshop called Spring into Action, Going to Any Lengths is the theme. Please show up around 7 p.m. The meeting is normally at 8, so show up an hour early. And the theme is going to any lengths, only two for by sobriety. Klondike bars will be available. It's a joke, I know how to learn.
Right on.
Thanks.
All of those events are on the Tidewater Intergroup website, which is in the lower right-hand corner of the meeting list, tidewaterintergroup.org. But all of those events and many others are listed on that website. The Supper to Speaker that Amy described and the Chili Cook-Off that Ebony described are both on that table as well. Please take some of those flyers with you back to your groups on the way out.
Thank you.
We'd appreciate it. Any others? Okay, Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members? Newcomers, you are the reason we're here tonight. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd just like to welcome you by first name.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Welcome.
Jason.
Welcome.
Josh.
Welcome.
My name's Hannah.
Hey, Hannah. Welcome.
Welcome. Anybody else? Glad you're here. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I'll be available at this table. After we close the meeting, please feel free to come talk to me. There's literature available on the table over there. If you can fold it, it is free. If you'd like to purchase a book, just see a home group member. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Could we please thank this panel again? After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. And may I please have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Larry,
go, Larry.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. You realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord's Prayer. Thank you.